Have a query? Pose it to the Mufti.
Have a doubt? Remove it via the Mufti.
Confused about something? Let the Mufti diffuse it.
Concerning yawning in Salat, generally people have a tendency to yawn loudly in Salat. Is this permissible or otherwise, what is the etiquette of yawning in Salat?
It depends how you ask the question. That's how you will get an answer.
On radio, unfortunately, a lot of presenters, when they are giving salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and somehow the other, they are adding this word, a'ala, which is not true.
Not sure about anything? Let the Mufti clarify it.
Don't be afraid. Remain anonymous. Come out of the darkness into the light of knowledge. Q&A with Mufti Afzal Ilyas every Tuesday after Isha.
All right, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It is Tuesday night after Isha. We welcome you, marhaba bikum, inshallah. This is a question and the answer session with Mufti Ilyas Q&A. Any questions, concerns you have, call us on 011-854-1548. And before we cross over, inshallah, we have a reminder for you that tomorrow there is a very interesting program, a spiritual upliftment program by Hazrat Dr. Muhammad Sabir Saab. And Dr. Saab is a senior khalifa of Hazrat Marana Shah Muhammad Farooq Saab rahmatullahi alayhi of Sukkur in Pakistan. And there's a lecture program by Hazrat Dr. Muhammad Sabir Saab taking place tomorrow, being Wednesday, the 7th of September, inshallah, from 11 o'clock in the morning to 12 in the afternoon. It's number 830 Mahanadi Avenue, extension 11B, that's near Masjid Ashraf. And for more information, you can call 011-852-3325. All right, we'd like to welcome Mufti Saab on the program. Mufti Ilyas, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And how's Mufti Saab today?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. JazakAllah for the time with Saab. Inshallah, we look forward to spending the next hour with Mufti Ilyas. All right, alhamdulillah. Many questions have come through in the last 10 minutes or so. We are waiting for your calls and your SMSs. Please to send them through right away. Don't fax them. The faxes are out of order. As we told you, we are relocating. Renovations are underway at Radio Islam. But you can SMS us those questions on 082-580-8070. And the number to call is 011-854-1548. Sheikh Chair is taking your calls from the other side. Right, Mustafa, we have a number of questions. The first one is, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It's about showering husband and wife. Can a husband shower with his wife? What is the ruling, Mustafa?
It is permissible.
All right, it is permissible. Husband and wife can shower together. The other question is that, is it true when a person passes away on a Friday, there is no questioning for him?
Yes. Those who are interested can see one kitab of ours. We have translated the work of Mufti Ashiq Ilahi Bulandshahri Rahmatullah Alayhi, and it is called Life at the Grave. Therein there are some narrations about those who passed away on a Jum'ah. Now the question is Friday. Remember that Friday as in English is different from Jum'ah as we Muslims know. Our Jum'ah starts Thursday after sunset, and it will end Friday at sunset. So the person passing away there, the hadith says that the postponement of the azab of qabr. Now, that is a great boon and favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely. However, we should not feel, or people are under the impression, that even when sinners pass away on a Friday or the Jummah, then we feel, oh, this person is going direct to Jannah. This is a wrong impression and misconception. Yes, it's a great ni'mah and boon and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to suspend, postpone the questioning and answering for the day of resurrection. And definitely, that is a blessing from Allah. But to have this, that this is like a direct pipeline to Jannah, that is not true.
All right, Mr. Jazakallah for that answer. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum, Mulana. My daughter has diverted from Islam after Nikam. We gave her a Quran, a Kitab, Musalla as a gift. Is it right to remove it from her now that she has no more, she is no more Muslim? That is disgusting. It's very sad indeed.
It's very, very sad to hear this. And we should all the time make dua that Allah keep us with Iman, take
Amen.
Us with Iman, resurrect us with Iman.
Amen.
And yeah, what should be done, that the elders of the society, the ulama of the locality, should go to that person and explain Islam to that person. The person who posed the question should constantly make dua and take some responsible people who understand the deen to remove the objections which arise in her daughter's mind. And if she feels that her daughter will not respect Quran-e-Kareem and the Musalla, then she
she should request her daughter to give it back to her. Remember, she has given the Quran and the Musalla to her daughter. Now it is the possession of her daughter. If she does not want to part with it, you cannot forcefully take it out from them.
Alright, and Brother Ismail Qasab saying you ought to try to your best and speak to her. And Mufti Sahib saying some get some ulama kiram, inshallah, and you know, they must try and speak to her. I mean, this is totally unbelievable and, you know, really shocking. And we ask our listeners also to make dua for the sister that Allah guide her towards Islam. Alright, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum. The listener says, could Mufti Sahib please explain the difference between Al Aqmas Al Aqsa and the Dome of the Rock? Brother Chauhan from Natal, Mufti Sahib.
This is a great misconception, and unfortunately a lot of times we will find calendars even printed and displaying the Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock is obviously the one that is copper shiny.
Mm-hmm.
And people are under the pressure that this is Masjid al-Aqsa, and this is an original plot of the enemies of Islam to create dissension, discourse, by not educating the Muslim public properly, that to differentiate between the Dome of the Rock and Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa is a little away from the Dome of the Rock. We have written one kitab, it's called Major Signs of the Day of Judgment. It's translated work of Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Ali, available on our website alislam.co.za. However, on the cover and on the back cover, we have given both photographs and with the explanations and the differences between the Dome of the Rock and Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa was where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the night of Miraj with the Buraq, accompanied by Jibreel alayhi wa sallam to Masjid al-Aqsa, as stated in the Quran al-Kareem in Surah Bani Israel or Asra. And then there Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tied the Buraq and performed, led the Salat for the Anbiya alayhi salam. So Masjid al-Aqsa is the original Masjid and is the original Qibla of the Muslims, not the Dome of the Rock.
Alright, JazakAllah for the clarification. It's very important we understand the difference. JazakAllah Mufti Sahib. Alright, the other question is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It says, is it okay to give money or food to a beggar who is drunk?
A person who is drunk and comes to your door, then first of all, you as the giver are entitled to give him a small speech also, and tarheeb, encouragement to leave this evil, bad habit of drinking and smoking and getting so drunk that they wobble around. So you should give the food. Perhaps the person is definitely hungry. Don't give too much food. Give enough food so that the person survives. It will be better. And if you can manage this, that to maintain that person in your yard, give him the food, let him eat it in front of you, and then he can go away. But to definitely, you should not give such people money.
Alright, JazakAllah for that. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The listener says, I have a few questions for Mufti Sahib. Number one is it permissible to recite Quran while Azan is on?
As far as Azan is concerned, then this is a very interesting question, because especially we notice this in Jummah time, that we go to various masajid to give speeches for the Jummah, and when the Azan of Jummah is being called, no one performs the Sunnah. Now, and also, unfortunately, no one wants to go to toilet also. Whereas it is clearly written in the textbooks that if you have got a takaza, a necessity to go to toilet, then don't even go and make your faras salah, because if you're going to join the jama'ah, you'll be more interested in thinking about the toilet than focus on the salah. So you should go and relieve yourself properly and then make wuzu and then join the jama'ah. So when the azan is on, you can go to the toilet. When the azan is on, you can perform the sunnah also. The hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should perform the two rakats of sunnah of fajr while listening, and while the azan of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala and who was resounding in his ears. So, now the ulama have written something. They say that azan has got two methods of responding.
Okay.
One is physical response.
Hmm.
That means now you heard the azan, you should leave everything now and physically go towards that masjid and walk or drive over. Now that's a physical response. And the second one is that whilst you are going there, you verbally, orally reply to that azan. But now once you are in the masjid, both these good actions are terminated now. The wajib response is by walking, going towards the masjid. And the mustahab response is by the oral verbal response to the azan, which is highly meritorious. We have written on that too, you can see it on the website. Then, once you're in the masjid, you have fulfilled the compulsory response by walking and getting into the masjid or jamaat sana, and now it is not necessary to make the mustahab response, so therefore you can make salah, and if you are reading Quran al-Kareem, then you also can read Quran al-Kareem. However, if you want to terminate that, you can do so and perform your sunnah.
Alright, Musa Jalakta, for that response. The sister's other question is, she says, there was one question, if a person is fasting and gets haid, what is the ruling?
This is a 1 month ahead question, Ramzan question. This is that, yes, definitely the fast has terminated naturally, obviously, because haid has come. Yes, the actual question is that should the person eat or not eat? Then you will find in most textbooks it will say do not eat. We are saying that if that person wants to eat and is hungry, the person may eat, but not in public. Secondly, that not in front of all the household members, because obviously when you have a family unit and there are males and females, now all of a sudden the female was fasting, was there for theory, and now is eating in the day. What has happened? So the young males may just feel embarrassed. So Shariat is saying, yes, the female should be cautious, and if she wants to eat, then eat in privacy.
Alright, Mr. Jazakallah for that. And the third, fourth question from the sister is, does ghusl become farad if a dog brushes against a person? Jazakallah khair.
This also, as far as the dog is concerned, then to answer the question directly and then to expound a little bit, that no, ghusl does not become farz, and neither does the wuzu break. Yes, what is the difficulty arising is concerning the clothing. Concerning the clothing, then two things you have to worry about. The dog, was the dog wet? If the dog was wet, then any part of the dog touching you will make your clothing now napak. If the dog was dry, absolutely, when the dog touched you, it does not make you napak. However, if the dog's mouth or nostril touched you, then that area which was cut becomes napak.
Alright, so JazakAllah for that response. Listeners, we are busy with the question and the answer session with Mufti Ilyas Saab. We are taking your calls. Call us on 011-854-1548. Cell phone number to send the SMS questions is 082-580-8070. And I think we have a call on the line also. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalamu rahmatullah, sister.
I'd just like to pose a question to Mufti Saab.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to know, according to Sharia, I'm a single woman, not married, and I just wanted to know what happens if I have any jewelry or any inheritance from my parents. Who does it go to after my demise?
All right, just hold the line just a moment. We'll start with another question for you. Hold the line, sister. Who's that?
You're not married.
No, she's not married. Sister, you're not married, eh?
Brothers and sisters she got.
Brothers and sisters, we have sister?
I've got one brother.
Brothers and sisters.
I've got three sisters, but they are married. And my brother that's married.
All right, we'll go to the brothers and the sisters.
See?
It'll go to the brothers and the sisters.
The brothers. Parents alive?
Parents alive, sister?
See.
Go to them also.
It'll go to them also, sister.
Oh, who, for my parents?
Yeah.
No, my parents are not alive.
Oh, they passed away.
See.
So they'll go. It will go to the brothers and sisters.
All right, you heard that, sister?
Yes, brother and sister. And one more question.
Yeah.
Is it permissible to make dua in English?
Yes, sir.
It is absolutely permissible to make dua in any language. Make dua in the language that you are most comfortable with. English, Gujarati, whatever vernacular you can express yourself the best. But this is a very important question. People, these days, there is a difference in reading and reciting dua and making dua.
Mm.
Most of the time we are reading duas, we are reciting duas.
Mm.
We do not make dua. And why we do not make dua is because we are reading the duas in Arabic or Urdu, and we half of the time do not know what we are asking for, what we want. So it is good to read the dua in Arabic, but best that together with the Arabic, learn the translation and make dua in your vernacular. Dua is actually you talking to Allah. You are presenting your case to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should make dua in the language that you can express yourself the best. In any language, Allah is all-knowing. He understands everything.
All right, sister.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah so much for the call. Allah reward you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right, Musa, let's go ahead. Many, many questions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Is it tradition, or if you have a caller, let's take the caller first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
How are you? I would like to speak to the Mufti and ask him a question about zakat.
All right, go ahead, brother.
Mufti, I would like to know if I have to pay my zakat this month and if I inherit money. Also, in the process before paying the zakat, do I have to pay the zakat for the whole amount that I received as what I had and what I achieved during the zakat period? Let's learn the
age. Right, Jazak, love the question, brother. All right, Mustafa, lucky person, correct inheritance. All right, Mustafa.
I see you like this money question. This is a very interesting question, and I'm so happy the brother posed it.
Yes, yes.
First of all, that also he is saying that he's paying zakat now. Many people are under the impression that you only can pay zakat in Ramadan. As I explained previously, Ramadan is good because the rewards are greater. However, if a person pays zakat daily, weekly, monthly, it is absolutely permissible, rewarding also. To just give the zakat is of tremendous reward. Now the brother has got assets, and now he wants to pay zakat, and he gets inheritance.
Okay.
So he will take that inheritance and add it to his assets. The question is actually lurking that inheritance that he received was not whole and whole, was not there for one Islamic lunar year. Then why must he pay for it? So Fuqaha have written, Jurisconsults have written, that when you're calculating your zakah, then you will take the assets, total assets, at the time of calculation. So let us just say hypothetically that first month a person had 100,000 rand, and then 6 months he had 50,000, but there was time of calculation he had 150,000. You will give on 150,000. Now there is the Sufiya Ikram, the Ahl Tasawwuf Hazrat, they say, see, this is the fazilat, virtues of Sahabiyya, sober. That Nabi Akram Sarasim Sahaba, because they spent a little time with him, they attained such a high spiritual status. I just contacted Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for a little while. That money of inheritance, in this case, because of coming into contact with that money which was with that person for zakatable purposes, received the same status of being eligible and liable to give zakat upon.
All right, that clarifies the answer. Jazakallah for that. All right, we confirm, Mr. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The question says, is it tradition for a lady to go to her mom's home after having a baby? Is there any Islamic relevance that she must stay indoors for 40 days, Shukar?
There are two separate questions here. That also, that after marriage also, she does not have to go back to her mother's home.
Right, right.
And also, after delivery, she does not have to go back to her mother's house. And this tradition of going back after marriage or going back after delivery, this is perhaps amongst the Indians. And this is just their tradition and custom, need not to be followed. However, if a person does do that without regarding it as part of deen, then that is permissible. You must not regard it as a custom as part of deen or a ritual part of deen. Once you regard it as part and parcel of deen, then it becomes an innovation. As far as the 40 days is concerned, then here also there are two things. That the nifas, the blood discharge after childbirth, need not be 40 days. That's according to Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, the maximum duration. Minimum duration, there is no minimum duration in the Hanafi fiqh. So if the woman becomes pure, her blood stops after 3 days, and she is parked, she is pure, she takes ghusl and carries on performing salat, etc. And if it lasts more than 40 days, the 41st day will be regarded as istihaza, a blood discharge due to ailment and sickness. But if she wants to go out of the home for necessity, need, etc., even after the day of childbirth, that is permissible.
All
the
right.
Indian custom that the woman cannot go out of the home after childbirth, that is, has got no basis in Islam.
Jazakallah, they have a lovely term in Urdu for it, sorry, in Gujarati, myself.
Yes.
But what you call it? It's a guawar.
Yeah.
All right, Jazakallah, that's the other question. We're going further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It says, is it permissible to sell DVD players, Muftisa?
It is permissible.
Alright, it is permissible. It came up last week as well. The other question
I hope someone doesn't phone in and start saying that Mufti said you can see DVD films.
James, alright, I think we have a call about the jet series. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam, Malana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, hi, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Muftisa. I have three questions. My first question is, there are some people in our locality who believe that when they send salams on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present.
Alright.
That's my first question.
A very important question, Jazakallah.
My second question is, in our locality, there are some people who believe that when they send duas, they need to go through an intermediary, that is like a awliya or a sheikh, so that because we are lower and that we cannot approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. In other words, they cite an example that when you go, they're using the law of like human beings or the land, that when you need to go to a high court, you need to go to a lawyer and then to a junior advocate and a senior advocate. So Muftisa's comments on that issue, whether one as an individual can make dua directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or does one have to use an intermediary? That's my second question. My third question is, it is stated in the hadith that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had worn a cloth, sort of like a sunnah. But now we, in terms where the long kurta, and then you have the one which comes from the Indo-subcontinent with the slit and the pants. Now which one would be closer to the sunnah itself?
Right,
my third question, and lastly, if you don't mind, is it permissible for one to perform salah without a hat and short sleeves?
All right, Jazakallah, brother. Very, very important question. You're calling from the channel?
Yes.
All right, Jazakallah so much. Allah reward you. Take care, brother.
I mean, Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Let's have the first question.
Which bayan he wants us to give? It is the first question, that it is the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not omnipresent. And the simple proof is when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Miraj, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Bani Israel says, Subhanallazi asra bi abdihi laylam minal masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. So from masjid al haram to masjid al aqsa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that ayat is saying from and to. That means when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah, he was not in Jerusalem. And when he was in Jerusalem, he was not in Makkah. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Taif, then he was not in Makkah.
Right, right.
And then, why he must go walking and traveling for 14 days at least away to various places? And why walk and why go on camel? He could disappear.
Right, right, right.
Then Miraj will have no meaning, Hijrat will have no meaning, then Taif will have no meaning, all the major events will have no meaning.
Alright.
So, definitely Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not omnipresent. The question of Hazir Nazir is special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who watches carefully, minutely on His creation all the time, every time.
All right.
So the special quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be given to any of His creation.
So this is the first question. What is the status of a person's iman whose aqidah is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, becomes present when the majlis takes place? What is the status of his iman, sir?
That is tantamount to shirk.
All right. Jazakallah. And the second dua posed by the brother from the tell is when you send dua, when you make dua, rather, do you need an intermediary person or can you make directly to Allah Rabbul Izzah?
Then what is the point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly and in the Quran and Hadith mentioning that He is closer to us than our jugular vein?
Yes, sir.
Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to us,
then we can make dua directly. And you cannot use a worldly analogy. When there is clear such Quran and Hadith that Nabi Akram made dua directly, Sahaba made dua directly, yes, when you make dua, the Hadith is very clear. The praise Allah. Now the etiquette of dua, mannerism of dua, the praise Allah, and also recite durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith is clear. If you do not recite durood, then your dua is suspended between the earth and the sky. And when you recite durood, then there is good chance of your dua being accepted. Now, yes, the permissibility is there that you make dua and say that through the wasila of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will like your dua to be accepted. Now, also, that if you do a good action, then the ulama say yes. You can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, accept my dua because of my good action.
Okay.
Yes, it is permissible that you can say that due to the good action done by your beloved Anbiya, beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved saints of Allah, that accept my dua. Yes, it is permissible. But it is not necessary.
Alright.
Now those people who take this status from permissibility to necessity, they are not correct, and they are faltering in their argument.
Alright.
One is permissible, but they turn the permissibility into necessity, and that's where they falter.
Alright. Mr. Jazakallah, then before we go to the third question, let's take a call, two calls we have. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Jesus, sir.
I just like to know between a husband and a wife, for example, if there's an argument and in a fit of anger or something like that, if a husband tells a wife that if you don't like the idea, you can pack your bags and go, or if he tells her that you can just get out from here, is that considered a talaq?
Can you just hold the line? What is that called? The question?
Yeah, got it.
Alright, Jazakallah, sister. Alright, Salamik Mahdabah. Jim, sir, the answer to this question?
You answer this one or the third one first?
Let's come to the third one first, Mufti Sam.
Yes.
The third question was with regards to the... we have another caller. Let's take a caller first, Mufti Sam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello,
Assalamu alaikum. Jesus, sir.
Yeah, I would like to know, what is the earliest time we can read our Asr Namaz? Especially in Ramadan, by the time we leave work, it's 5 to 5, and when we come home, it gets late. But we can read Namaz before we leave work.
All right. So you want to know what is the earliest time that you can read your Asr Namaz?
All
right, Jazakallah, sister.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you have any question, let's take the third question from the
earliest
brother.
Earliest time, I will request the sister to get a perpetual timetable. Look at the timetable. It's quite specific these days. If she's of Shafi fiqh, she can look at the earliest time of Asr for Shafi and perform it. If she's of Hanafi fiqh, she can look at the earliest time and perform it.
Alright.
What was the third question then?
So the question was, which kurta, the one with the slit or the long kurta, is aqrab and closest to sunnah?
As far as the kurta is concerned, that very simple answer, above the ankle is good. Slightly higher is better. Slightly higher than that is best. I will repeat. Above the ankle is good. Slightly higher, better. More than that, best. And that is the summary discussion, academic summary discussion of all the hadiths, etc., about the kurta. And it need not be slit.
Alright, Jazakallah. So it's good, better, and best. Jazakallah. And yes, we take a call. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Jee. What's your question?
Jee. Is it permissible to celebrate Arbor Day?
Is it permissible to celebrate Arbor Day? Alright, Jazakallah, will ask Mufti Sahib, okay?
Yes.
Alright, and any other question you have? Alright, Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We'll do the talaq question first.
Alright, Jee. Mr. the fourth question posed by the brother was with regards to wearing salah without topi and reading namaz with short sleeve. What is a masala?
This is become fashion of the day. People who do not want to conform to any mazhab. Whereas no mazhab is saying, I repeat, no mazhab is saying that read salat without a hat, no mazhab is saying read salat with short sleeves. We are appealing to anybody to bring one hadith where Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam performs salah without a shari excuse, without a hat, or short sleeves.
Right.
So, if they can bring that hadith, then we will alter our stand. it is part of ethics and mannerism and good behavior that you dress well before going to an important person. Why are you going to the court of courts, the king of kings, so you should dress properly, not half naked?
No doubt. And let's now come to the question posed by the sister. She says if there is an argument between the husband and the wife, and the husband tells the wife, if you don't like the idea, then buzz off to your mother's house. What is the masala?
Well, you modify the wording, I think. However, that's I think what she said. You see, in talaq, talaq has got various types. Now, one is tari talaq, and one is inaya. Tari is when the husband says the wife, I divorce you.
Right.
He's using clear, non-ambiguous words.
Right.
Now, the other one is when he tells his wife that go to your mother's house or pack up and leave or what you said and words of that nature. And if he just meant to admonish her, there is no problem.
Right.
But if he said these words and he had intention of divorce, then it equals to one talaq.
Alright, Mr. Jazakallah for that. And the question posed by the little boy is celebrating Arbor's Day.
What is that?
So I think in spring, you know, when you celebrate, you know, the trees growing, etc. But the cherry is dropping on the other side. Just basically to celebrate possibly the spring's day, Mr. Sahab, that you know, everything is growing now.
You have to make research whether if this is linked to any Greek mythology or any what you call Kufriya ideology or something. However, if it's just to celebrate a day where you would go and plant trees, etc., then it is permissible. But once it is linked to some batil ideology,
right.
Then Islam will say, don't celebrate.
All right, Jazakallah. Let's have to take one more question after we take a break. Inshallah, we'll continue thereafter. And the question is, do you pay zakah on unit trust?
If the unit trust is permissible, obviously you are going to pay for the current market related value of that trust.
Alright, JazakAllah. So let me take one more question, inshallah. The other question is, the brother wants to know, can I take insulin 30 minutes before iftar?
Yes, permissible. If you have got a condition that requires you to take that injection, then it is permissible.
Alright, JazakAllah. So it's now 5 minutes to 9 o'clock. We take a short break, inshallah. Then after we continue, remember the lines are always open. You can call us on 011-854-1548 immediately after the ad break. But in the meantime, you can still send us the SMS questions. Number is 082-580-8070. Stay tuned.
हर फूल यहाँ एक शोला है, हर सरो यहाँ मीना
है. 9, 8, 7, 6, access denied. 4, 3, 2, 1, all systems go.
Satellite Islam now activated. Through our decoders, which are available to the public, you will be able to pick up and tune into Radio Islam throughout Southern Africa with crystal clear digital reception. There is a payment of 699 rand for the decoder with no monthly subscriptions and no catch whatsoever. For further information, please call Yaqub at Radio Islam on 011-854-7022. Satellite Islam. Information, education and transformation.
وقفت ببابك يا خالقي أقل الذنوب على عاتقي يجر الخطايا وأشقى بها لهيبا من الحزن في خافقي
وقفت ببابك يا خالقي أقل الذنوب على عاتقي يجر الخطايا وأشقى بها لهيبا من الحزن في
خاطقي يسوق العبادة إليك الهدى وذنبي إلى بابكم سائقي أتيت وما لي سوى بابكم صريحا أناديك يا خالقي
يسوق العبادة إليك الهدى
وذنبي إلى بابكم سائقي
أتيت وبالي سوى بابكم
صريحا أناديك يا خالقي
وقفت ببابك
يا خالقي
أقل الذنوب على عاتقي وأشقى بها لهيبا من الحزن في خاطقي وقفت ببابك يا خالقي أقل الذنوب على عاتقي أجر الخطايا وأشقى بها لهيبا من الحزن بخاطقي
إلهي أتعيش بصدق الحنين يناديك بالتوب قلب حزين
إلهي
أتعيش
بصدق الحنين يناديك بالتوبة قلب حزين
إلهي أتيتك في أضلعي
إلى ساحة
العفو شوق دفين
وقفت ببابك يا خالقي
أقل
الذنوب على عاتقي أجر الخطايا مؤمن بالله ربي مؤمن بالله أحيا عارفا قصدي ودربي
مؤمن بالله وحده باسط كفي عنده
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 إنه إن شاء نجى من سهام الموت عبدا
مؤمن بالله ربي مؤمن روحي وقلبي مؤمن بالله أحيا عارفا قصدي ودربي
غيره ماذا لديه
Alright, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. 1 minute to 9 o'clock, and this is the Q&A with Mufti Ilyas Hamidahullah. We are taking in a call, inshallah. The number you know is 0118541548. Telephone number to send the SMS questions is 0825808070. Alright, so Mustafa, I'd like to welcome you again. Assalamu alaikum, Mustafa.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alright, JazakAllah, Mustafa. Alright, the first question posed by the brother, I think it is. A lady has enough money to pay rent for 6 months. Does she have to give zakat?
Say it again.
The brother says a lady has enough money to pay rent for 6 months. Does she have to give zakat?
No, not in this case, because the money that she has got, although she has got money for 6 months renter, then that money is not with her for one Islamic lunar year.
All right.
And also, what should you worry about here in this case, has that lady got jewelry to the value of nisab? If she has got gold jewelry to the value of nisab, silver or gold jewelry, then she has to pay zakat. But the question, no, she does not pay zakat.
All right, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Sister says, can women experiencing hayd read Surah Ikhlas, Surah Falaq, and Surah Nas, and also Ayatul Kursi as praising Allah?
Not as praising Allah. Not for tilawat.
All right. Alright, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Asal, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
JazakAllah for the call, brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to find out, can one ask any questions or are you discussing a certain topic?
No, any question, brother. Mufti is there, inshallah, any questions will do. Go ahead.
Okay, the question that I'd like to find out, assuming a person has qada fast to keep of a Ramadan, and when he is actually keeping this qada, he deliberately breaks that fast. Is kafara then necessary?
Alright, so when keeping the qadha fast of the month of Ramadan, he breaks that fast.
That qadha, yeah.
Alright, let's just hold the line, Mustafa.
Intentionally or voluntarily, involuntarily?
Voluntarily or involuntarily, brother?
Voluntarily breaks it.
Intentional or non-intentional?
Intentionally.
Intentionally, alright, Mustafa, intentionally.
You understand what you mean by intention?
Mustafa, you just possibly just broke it. But why, brother? Maybe ask why you broke it off.
No, don't ask him why. Does he understand what is intentional?
GG.
You understand what is purposeful?
Brother?
Yes. I can't hear the radio, so I can only hear you on the phone.
When you say purposefully, what do you mean?
Well, he just wasn't feeling like fasting. He was feeling tired, so he broke his fast.
All right, Jazakallah, brother. We'll stop and answer the question.
Okay.
All right, brother, Jazakallah.
Will you say this out on air?
Yeah, so you can listen to it on the radio.
Okay.
All right, brother, Jazakallah. Shim Sam.
If the person, while keeping a fast, Qadha fast, yeah, intentionally broke it, that means when he intentionally broke it, he is now liable to be fasting for another 60 days because he's intentionally, willfully, purposely violated the Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
But if he involuntarily, and if he's deadly to the, any Sharia excuse, then it's one for one.
One for one. All right, Jazakallah. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam. How are you, man?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, brother?
Jazakallah. I like to know, like in Ramadan, when, you know, before opening Roza, yeah, 10 minutes before it, and normally ladies are taking place to the neighbor's houses or sending their children anything like this in a area, and the same could be sent more fruitful, you know, like interacted. So can you explain us further?
All right, let's repeat the question. I'm not getting very clear. Is time of iftar, what did you say?
Before in Ramadan, before iftar,
yeah, yeah,
before you open Roza, about 10 or 5 minutes before Roza,
right, right,
opening,
right.
Neighbors, ladies are normally taking place like to the neighbor's house.
All right, okay, we got the masala.
Or sending a children in it.
Okay.
Is there anything like this in the Sharia? And I mean, time is wasted, where time could be, you know, more beneficial way into it, etc.
Definitely.
So, can explain us for that.
All right, Jazakallah, brother. That's all. Okay, Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I did not get the question.
So, he says that, you know, normally just before 5 or 10 minutes before breaking iftar, before breaking the fast, mothers and sisters normally send kajurs and samosas and, you know, the bajias to neighbors, etc. He says, rather, how about spending the time in dua and tilawat?
First of all, that to send these gifts is permissible. And definitely it creates a certain amount of love, brotherhood, affection between the neighbors. And also, that it is in conformity to Sharia by way of helping, aiding, supporting morally, financially, and with food to your neighbors. But it should not become such that you have to do it. In certain localities, unfortunately, it has become a ritual, then a custom, and now it has become a necessity.
Mm.
And as I have stated, when a ritual and a custom becomes a necessity, then it becomes an innovation. Now, to do so, if the Bali girls are doing it, definitely then that is not permissible. But if the Nabali children are running around with plates, etc., to the neighbors exchanging these gifts, etc., then it is permissible. What the caller has stated, yes, definitely, that is the time of acceptance of dua. So those who are mature should be engaged in dua, as stated by the caller.
All right, Jazakallah. It's 7 minutes past 9 o'clock. We are taking your calls. Number to call, you know it, 011-854-1548. Cell phone number to send the SMS is 082-580-8070.
And the situation there in Saudi Arabia, etc., in these Middle East countries where it is hot and what they eat. Therefore, certain times they require the blood be removed from their bodies. We of Indian origin, we take out blood from us, then we are half dying.
We are half dying, sir. It happened to me also once, you know.
Yes, I know that. Yes. Then, and so, as it is, unfortunately, that we are not very strong people. And then fasting. And then to take out blood, you're looking for trouble. Yes, it is permissible, but look at your health first.
All right,
will not break your fast.
All right, Jazakallah. We go on further. The other two questions on the screen are, it states, is it permissible for ladies to go to the Qabristan?
It is not permissible for ladies to go to the graveyard.
All right. And the other question is, from what time to what time can we make the Hajjud Namaz?
There are a few laws here. And as far as the Hajj is concerned, remember the time starts
after your Isha. Once you performed your Isha, now the time of Sajjad has started. And it will end when Theri ends. Theri ends, Isha time performance ends, Witr time performance ends, Tahajjud time performance ends. Also, it is advisable, yes, to sleep and get up and perform Tahajjud. But it is not a prerequisite that you have to sleep and then perform Tahajjud. So those who unfortunately waste their time talking and doing vain activities, so before sleeping, they can make Tahajjud Salat and sleep. Minimum rakat of Tahajjud is 2, maximum 12. And it is the best Salat after the Farz Salat.
Alright, JazakAllah. So to go on further, is it permissible for Muslims to go to the church and collect groceries?
First of all, for a Muslim to go to a non-Muslim organization for handouts will eventually jeopardize the person's iman. And at all times, Muslims must protect the iman. Iman is most important. If the person is so desperate, then in our countries especially, there are enough and sufficient and adequate Muslim organizations providing the basic necessities of life. Do not go to non-Muslim organizations for handouts. Sooner or later, they are going to invite you towards their deen and their batil ideologies.
Alright, JazakAllah. And just for the listeners of Radio Islam, remember this is a phone-in program. We have Mufti Ilyas on the other line. This is a Q&A program every Tuesday night after Isha. Call us on 011-854-1548. Don't call us on 082-580-8270, but rather send us your SMSs. The questions to this number is 082-580-8270. Alright, to go on further, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Please tell me, I need to find out, does a rectal examination by a doctor with or without a lubricant invalidate a fast?
Just repeat the question.
Examination by a doctor with or without a lubricant, does it invalidate a fast?
The what examination, brother?
Rectal.
Okay, JazakAllah.
I'll listen on the radio.
Alright, JazakAllah for the call, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
If there was any gel fluid ointment utilized, the fast will break. If it was a dry examination, fast will not break.
Alright, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The SMS says, why is it regarded as bid'ah to stand up and recite salah and salam upon our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whereas we do so in Medina Sharif?
In Madinatul Munawwara, then you have to follow a queue, a line. And you are forced by circumstances and situation to pass by the grave of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam standing. And the person very well knows you are not even allowed to stand for more than few minutes until the guards come and tell you to leave the place. So there you are doing it out of a certain incapacitation. And other than that, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hum ajma'in, 124,000 of them, never ever, not once in their lifetime, when they were away from Madinatul Munawwara, that they stood and recited Salat and Salam upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not the Tabi'in, not the illustrious Fuqaha, not the pious Aima, not the Muhaddithin, and not the illustrious famous saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alright, JazakAllah for that. We have a call. Let's take the call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Allah shukr. You're keeping well.
Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr.
I'd like to ask a question. I need you to understand this question very clearly. A couple, they are married for about 8 years. A wife, 7 months ago, she was 26. She's been under medical treatment, and for sometimes 3-4 months she's been taking medication. But in the last 2 months or a month, she's been telling her husband she takes some medication, which she does not. And she now and then complains that she's feeling like this, she's feeling like that. Husband asks, are you taking your medicine? She says, yes. All the time she's been taking her medicine, she hides it all.
Right.
Husband is in constant contact with the doctors. They've given them an update on the situation. The Muslim doctors advise that she should take the medicine right up to Ramadan. Ramadan, because in Ramadan there is change of food and times when you will eat.
Jai.
Must not re-erupt again the symptoms and the problems that we had.
Jai.
In the meantime, all these days, for the last 2-3 weeks, he's been lying. I'm taking the tablets, but she doesn't take the tablets.
Right.
The husband has realized and come to know from her that she's been lying to him.
Right.
And this lie has created the problem where the husband now does not trust his wife. He has betrayed the trust of the husband.
Right.
Because he deals with monies, he deals with many other things, and he gives her everything. And the wife has told us only today that she doesn't take the... And she says that when she takes the medicine, she does not agree with the medicine, which we brought it to the knowledge of the doctor. Doctor said, carry on with this. It takes time before that medicine starts working.
Right.
She has been stopped it in the quiet. She takes it with Zamzam water in the morning. She hides the tablet. She drinks the Zamzam or whatever it is. And she calls herself well.
Okay.
Right? Now the thing is this. The husband says, you have been lying to me. I've been speaking to doctors. I give them exactly what you tell me. You are taking this tablet, you are taking that tablet.
Right.
And now what you have done is, now you have betrayed my
trust. Okay.
And the husband feels that he is bitter, and she has betrayed his trust, not only in this medicine, because he spent hundreds of thousands of rands on her medicine, of which no family member or anybody approached the husband to even say, can we help to pay or whatever.
Right.
As it may be, now the husband is very upset.
Right.
He feels that he shouldn't live with a woman that has betrayed his trust. Now the husband says that they should separate and go for one tala.
Alright, brother, just hold on and let's get Mufti Saab's response. Alright, Mufti Saab, your response to this.
Just
to very quickly summarize, the brother said 8 years ago a person's wife got very ill. 6 months ago I think she got very, very sick, and in the last 2 months or so she has not been taking her medication. And just to sum it up, she'd been lying to the husband to say that she was taking the medication. The husband now feels that, you know, she's betrayed the husband, no more trust her, and he wants to basically give her one talaq. What is his advice on this?
Well, he should not give a talaq. He should not give a talaq for doing that activity. Although I did not hear the caller directly, but I could make out that he is presenting the case for someone, and that person is definitely upset about it. But there is one kitab that has come out by Mufti Arshad Qasimi concerning Shari Elaj, the order in the light of Sharia about diagnosis and treatment, etc. And there it is written clearly about when to treat, how to treat, why to treat, and whether to treat or not, etc. And whether to take medicine, etc. Now, in the light of that, I say that although this is frustrating and depressing for the husband, he should be patient, and he should try to get those who witnessed his marriage, etc., to convince his wife to take the necessary medication.
Right.
However, he should not divorce her because of this.
All right, exactly. Just to understand
it, brother. Just let me carry on.
Jim.
The person who is speaking is not representing anybody. He is representing himself, and what he feels that he has been betrayed because he has stood with this woman day in and day out. 11 o'clock at night in the hospital, he's gone for tests that can cost right up to 15,000 rand at a time. He's been going through nightmares for 6 to 7 months, which he has gone through. And he feels that if the wife has come to the stage, from one lie, it's going to lead to another lie, and his life, he needs somebody that trusted him. Now she has betrayed his trust. So if he feels that he should give one talaq for her reformation, or they will make up again or not, but the thing is this, that he feels he should give the one talaq because she is in denial and she lies still, and she's adamant that she did it for her good, but which she wants to prove her lies was right.
Yeah. Brother, okay, there was a mistake on her part. You said, we understand the husband spent thousands of rains, his time, etc. Can we just maybe, you know, talk it out?
Can I come in there?
You're coming, all right.
But the woman is still adamant.
Yeah, what I suggest
that she wants to justify.
My brother, let's ask a small some response. We got your okay, Musa.
What I suggest is that the husband definitely is upset, etc. And he is has got grounds to be upset, that is for sure.
Ji.
What he should, instead of giving the one talaq, that call for some separation. For separation so that there can be some mutual understanding and reconciliation. My advice is, please do not give the talaq, call for separation, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let penalty in vain.
Just the separation part, brother, one second. What's the separation part? How long, what do you suggest? How long should the separation be?
About 40 days.
About 40 days, inshallah. All right, brother, as far as possible, don't give the talaq, and I think we should give a wonderful suggestion.
Can I ask, if he gave that one talaq, is that talaq valid?
What's that?
Yes, it is valid.
It is valid, brother.
It is valid.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right, jazakallah. Safe, inshallah. All right, let's go ahead, inshallah. 22 minutes past 9 o'clock. You are tuned to your favorite learning station. Call us on 011-854-1548. SMS number is 0825-808-070. And we have a number of questions about 25 SMSs, inshallah. Just bear with us. We are going to be coming through each one of those SMSs. We have another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. All right, brother is gone. So let's go further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The brother says, number one, the first question is, in namaz after the shahud and durood, I make salam and I've never ever read a dua before making salam. Should I read qaza for all my past years namaz?
You do not have to read, you do not have to perform qaza for all those years. Your salat is valid.
All right, jazakallah. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. First question here. Christian and Hindu and Jewish marriages and funerals, can you attend? Is it permissible? And then during Ramadan month?
Right.
And even if it's, you know, out of Ramadan month.
All right, jazakallah. That's all, eh, brother?
Yes.
Jazakallah. All right, jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. But before you respond, let's take another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sister.
I have a question. I want to know, is it permissible for us to fast on a Friday?
To fast?
And the second question is, when someone passes away, what is the ruling that regards the 40 days? When someone dies and after 40 days they have a khatam, and then some people have a function at a hall, they have naat, they read nazams and things like that. I want to know if all this is part of Sharia and is it allowed.
All right, Muslim, let's take the first question. Attending non-Muslim funerals in Ramadan and out of Ramadan, is it permissible?
We attend non-Muslim funerals or weddings in Ramadan or outside Ramadan, a good, uprighteous Muslim should not go to any of those functions. Do not go to any place wherein the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending, and where the place is deserving of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and where the function and where that activity is bringing the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is Ramadan or outside Ramadan, a Muslim should not go and attend those functions.
Alright, jazakallah. The other question was, keeping fast on the day of Friday, is it permissible?
If a person is habitual to keep fast on the 3 days of the month, and the Friday happened to be one of those days, then it is permissible. Otherwise, one should avoid fasting on the day of Friday of Jummah, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that that is the Eid of the Muslims. These days we don't fast, we eat.
Alright, jazakallah. And the other question posed by the sister was that, you know, so after a person passes away, normally after 40 days, the people get together, have a khatam, have different naats, recitals, etc. Is this permissible in Sharia?
These functions, which are held after 3 days, 7 days, 10 days, 40 days, etc., are not proven in Islam. They are bidah. And in fact, in some ideologies, which believe in transmigration of souls, they believe after 3 days the soul is in a certain position, after 7 days in a certain level, and 10 days in a certain degree, and 40 days going to another place. So this is from batil ideology. We should not be doing such activities and having these naat recitations, etc., functions. All this is futile, vain activities, not proven in the Sharia, not sanctioned by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not done by Sahaba. We should not attend those functions, hold those functions, or promote those functions.
Alright, jazakallah. We go on further. The other question sent by a sister, it says, assalamu alaikum. Could Mufti Sahib please explain, do I have to keep two qaza fasts if I'm observing a qada fast and I get my haiz.
Now you get your haiz, then you will keep the fast of that one you broke and the fast that one you're supposed to keep, yes.
Alright, so it's true. And the other question she asked is it permissible to read Quran around a janazah?
It is permissible.
It is permissible to that.
Remember that around the janazah, there's the, especially the, well, if the female, then only those who are allowed to sit there must be allowed to sit there. Nowadays, unfortunately, anybody, everybody, and nowadays, even worse, male, female, everybody is sitting around there. Mahram, bare mahram, mixture, everything is happening. So, please, that all those who are allowed to sit around the mayat should be allowed, and then they can recite Quranic.
Alright. When turning right in, making salam in namaz, Mufti Sam, the brother says, to whom are we making salam? Is it to the angels and the pious jinnat or the prophets?
To the angels and the angels and the jinnat, not the prophets.
Alright.
Because that means you have been holding the belief that the prophets are omnipresent.
Present,
and that is a complete batil, erroneous, false belief. And also that while you're making the salam, then you should make it completely, meaning that as you turn your head, the salam should be recited.
Alright, Jazakallah. And the other question that she asks is, should pets be fed halal food as well?
Generally, the food that is available for them are artificial and synthetic in nature. And when they are artificial and synthetic in nature, then it is permissible to feed them.
Alright, Jazakallah. Yes, dear listeners, we still have a few minutes left, inshallah. We're still waiting for your calls, 011-854-1548. Cell phone number is to send the SMS questions 0825808070. And somebody just asked a question about tomorrow's program. So I'm just sorry for the interruption. It's a ladies' program taking place by Hazrat Dr. Muhammad Sabir Saddam Al Barakatum. It's taking place tomorrow, being the 7th of September, from 11 o'clock in the morning to 12 in the afternoon. And the address in the venue is 830 Mahanadi Avenue, that's extension 11B, near Masjid Ashraf. And for more information, you can contact the number is 852-3325. All right, Jazakallah, we go on further. It says, all right, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello, wa alaikum.
Jesus, sir.
I'd like to know if it's permissible to take birth control in Ramadan.
Permissible to take birth control in the month of Ramadan. Yes. All right, Jazakallah. What's that?
They use these birth control contraceptive medication to delay or cancel or postpone their haiz. Now they utilize the medication so that they can be pure fast for the whole of Ramadan. Although it is permissible and the fast will be valid, we are saying that please contact your medical practitioner, because we do not know the side effects and the harms of that medication. If a person takes that medication and then in future it is harmful and detrimental for the physical body and for the person, then we are not responsible for that. However, if the medication is effective and it does postpone or cancel the haze, then they are in the state of purity and the fast will be valid.
Alright, JazakAllah, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to the call. I think we have a call on the line.
Alaikum salam. I'd like to ask Mufti Sahab, when a person dies, does the soul immediately leave the person, and where does it go to? Because you find that when you give janazah, when you give a person ghusl, and the person opens the eyes and see around. So you want to know, I'm a bit confused with that.
Alright, JazakAllah, Mustafa will explain, sister.
Yes.
JazakAllah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
When a person passes away, then the soul leaves the body. And when the soul leaves the body, it goes away for registration, either to Ilin or Sijil. Ilin, where the good souls are registered. Sijil, where the bad souls are registered. Now this takes very quickly and swiftly and rapidly. Thereafter, the soul is returned partially to the body. Partially meaning like our telephone connection is.
Right.
So the soul is like hovering over the body. So it's not surprising what the sister is saying, that perhaps the person opens the eyes. Then as far as whether the person can see, etc., then that is a lengthy academic discussion, and one should not try to delve into it, and that will unfortunately make a person fearful, and also it leads to corruption of proper, valid beliefs. So what we should have a simple belief is the soul leaves, then it is returned, because now it is going to be, the body is going to be buried, and then there is going to be questioning and answering. At the time of questioning and answering, then the soul is there in a stronger form in the alam of barzakh, so that it can now perceive, see the angels, munkir and nakir, for questioning.
So that Allah is already frightening. Allah make the pangs of death easy for us, and may Allah take us with iman, and Allah keep us with iman. All right, do we have a call on the line? Yes, we have two callers, the one on the cell phone. Let's take the cell phone first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you hear me?
Jee, loud and clear, brother.
MashaAllah. Just two small questions. Munkir sahab, the Hanafi mazhab is after the janaz namaz, they don't make dua. But the Shafi, I think they make a dua. Now tell me, if you are attending a mayit and there's a Shafi, and they started a dua, what do you suggest? Should you stay and carry on read a dua, or should you walk away? That's my first question. And my second question of the deceased of the mayit, which way must the head face, the Qibla? Leg face the Qibla, because there's a query about that as well. I'll listen on the air. Jazakallah.
All right, Jazakallah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Can you repeat the second question? I got the first question.
All right, the second question is, when a person passes away, how should he be facing the Qibla? Should the legs be facing the Qibla, or how?
Second question first. If the room is big enough, then let the face face the Qibla. If the room is very small, then you can elevate the head and let the feet face the Qibla. And there is no difference between Hanafi mazhab and Shafi mazhab, that after the Salat and Janaza, actually it is Dua and Janaza. The whole Salat and Janaza is the Dua itself. And there is no proof of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam making Dua after the Salat and Janaza. So whether it is Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, Fiqh, all do not make Dua after Salat and Janaza. So that the brother, if he is there and there is some dua being made after Salat and Janaza, then if he wants to walk away, he can walk away.
All right, Alhamdulillah for that. Do we have callers, Brother Jeff? Yes, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes. The previous caller again.
Jee, brother.
Regarding where we found that the wife has been lying about the medicines and all that.
Jee.
And what happens? She's adamant. She's still right for lying. She justifies her lying, that she says, no, it was, I justify my lying, and there's nothing wrong in it. By not taking my tablets, I'm feeling a little better, but I've been lying, and she also does not take cognizance that she has betrayed the trust of her husband.
All right, so the Jazakallah Mustafa will respond to the question. Okay.
And that is where the husband says, she said to give her one talak because of betraying the trust, and in this argument, she is adamant that she is right for life.
All right.
I'll listen on the radio.
All right. Jazakallah Allah Mustafa.
Make your philosophy.
Sabi says that the wife is adamant that she is right in not taking the tablets. The same previous caller.
I think, as I hear now, that wife requires psychiatric treatment. Because if she is saying that she is adamant she is on the right, because it is the part of Sharia that you should try to worry about your body and take the necessary medication. Now, first of all, she does not take the medication, and then she is lying about it, and then the husband is now getting frustrated and depressed, and unfortunately looks like he has issued the one talaq. Now the girl's party, etc., should take the necessary precautions and medical treatment, because perhaps, let alone having a physical problem, a medical problem, she's got a mental problem also, and she needs this to be attended to forthwith and immediately.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The SMS says, how many times should clothes be washed when it's been washed in the machine and there's park clothes and rubber clothes mixed together?
All apart when it comes out.
Alright, Jazakallah. Is it better to make dua for the mayyat or to read Quran for him or her is better? Which one the listener wants to know? It's sunnah.
Both methods are meritorious, rewarding, what suits you at that time. For example, you are in the masjid or you have completed your salat, then to make dua for the mayyat at that time will be good. Now you have got a lot of spare time to read Quran Kareem and make Isa alayhi salam. Now for that occasion, Quran Kareem, tilawat, etc., and make Isa alayhi salam, then that is good.
Right,
depending on the circumstances, both are laudable.
Right, Jazakallah. So let's take the SMS's. Number of SMS's have come through, plus minus about 15. One says, Assalamu alaikum. After wudu, can one put lotion, toner, cleanser, roll on, makeup like foundation, etc., and then read Salah and Quran?
Permissible.
He forgot some 10. Alright, Jazakallah, we go on further. Are you there? Alright, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam, Maulana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, brother.
Assalamu alaikum to Mutisab and Jazakallah for the wonderful program. May Allah reward you all abundantly.
Ameen, ameen.
Mutisab, my first question is, in our locality, previously they used to have Quran Khatam at home. Now it has become norm to have a zikr, loud zikr, where they switch off the light and then they have a sheikh here. That in relating to that question is, how important is it for one to become a murid of a sheikh? You know, it has become, I don't know, not, I wouldn't say fashion, but many Indo-Pak alims are now coming and then suddenly you hear this one is a murid of that one, this one and the other. I would like Mufti Saab's comments and advice on that.
All right.
My second question is on coming in is on Ramadan. There are some brothers who believe that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and on certain times didn't come out after for Isha and Fijr. And when they asked him, he said no, he was afraid that if he came out regularly for Salah on this one occasion, then it would become faraz on his Ummah for Taraweeh. So thereby they cite the example that they only want to read 8 or 12 rakats of Taraweeh. That's my second question. And just the
so the second question is about 8 or 20 rakats. Is Taraweeh
they don't read the 20. They read the 8 or just the 10 rakats.
All right.
And the last question is, how important is it for one during the month of Ramadan to perform the Taraweeh at one masjid instead of using the term that is floating around? You know how the youngsters say, well, today I'm reading at this masjid and this one, the next one and tomorrow. So how important is it to just follow the Quran at one masjid and complete that?
All right. Jazakallah, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Rahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
As far as making zikr in the homes, etc., Mullah Ali Qari, Rahmatullah Ali, there is a hadith kitab called Mishkat. The commentary of it is called Birkat, and the famous scholar Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi is the commentator. He says clearly that in the time of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, no one should gather in the masjid or in the homes for zikr. So this loud zikr in the masjid is an innovation, and so it is in the homes also. Worse still, putting off the lights, etc. There's some cloak dagger activity taking place here.
Okay.
To take that to a sheikh, Khairul Fatawa, it is written there, it is mustahab.
Okay.
It is not faraz, it is not wajib, it is not sunnah. It is preferable, good, light. These days, unfortunately, people think it is faraz, wajib, sunnah. Thirdly, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come out to perform the Taraweeh, fearing that if he came out, it should become wajib. It is clearly in the hadith related by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Musannif ibn Shaybah, the hadith kitab, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should make 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salat. Now Taraweeh itself, Taraweeh means the resting period after 4 rakats. Taraweeh Hussain means resting period after 8 rakats. Taraweeh itself, the word itself denotes 12 rakats. So where they're getting 8, 10, etc. It is the established practice of all the Sahaba Ikram and the Fuqaha, illustrious Imams, Muhaddiseen, to make 20 rakats.
Right.
8 and 10 and 12, this is the pattern of the Salafis, Rahir Mukallis, Ahl Hadith, should not be adhered to.
Alright.
You should try and perform your Salat of Taraweeh in one masjid. If you are going to skip a crisscross, make sure that the sequence, if they're reading 1 1/4 in this masjid, then the same sequence should be in the other masjid that you are going to. But it is good to do it in one masjid.
Alright, Mr. Jazakallah, for that. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. I've got two questions.
Sure.
I think the most is up
there. Yes, go ahead, brother. He's listening.
First one is, my wife passed away in 1990. My daughter lives in my house, and I got married. I got two children from my second wife. Now, my question is, if I passed away, where do I marry go out? And the second question is, the house that I got, do I give it to my daughter, or do I share it with my... I got two children with a second wife. Jazakallah. I'll listen over there.
All right.
The first question?
Since I'm just trying to figure out the question. What he said, he was married in Saudi. His wife passed away in 1990. Two children from the second wife. Wanted to know where the janazah comes out from.
He, from his own house, if he obviously is going to pass away, then he can come out from his own house. That's no problem about that. And as far as the inheritance is concerned, then he should not be worried. If it's going to be distributed Islamically, then the daughter from his first marriage and the two offspring from his second marriage and his second wife, all will get from his inheritance. Okay. The house also will be evaluated by the executors, and the relative Sharia proportion rates will be given to those who he leaves behind alive.
Alright, JazakAllah. So somebody sent an SMS. He says, did Mufti Saab invite you for the Jinga? Brother Mufti Saab has not invited me for the Jinga. Is yet waiting. Alright, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jesus, sir, can you put your radio down, please?
Muslim organization that helps crippled and abnormal people, or people of an old age home, if they phone for donation or give a letter in the post asking for donation, is it permissible to give charity?
Alright, so this Muslim organization is helping both Muslims and non-Muslims. Is this non-Muslim organization helping both Muslims
only
and
non-Muslims?
Only non-Muslims. Alright, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Well, Mr. Because the question,
if that organization is of repute and it is reliable, and definitely you know they are doing that good action, that humanitarian good action, then it is permissible to give them donation.
All right, JazakAllah. Let's come to the SMSs, the many SMSs. Number one, saying, Assalamu alaikum. I read somewhere all utensils should be covered at night, cause there comes a night once a year in which all bad things spread over the earth, etc. Is this true? Please explain.
Not one night. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Hidayat, according to the hadith, is very clear that cover your food at stuff with a lid. And if you do not have a lid, then you recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and blow over that utensil which does not have a lid. Ulama Ikram write, there are two things. One is satanic influences, that is now on the celestial spiritual world. And secondly, that physical harm can come to the food. So both. And this does not pertain to only one night of the year. It pertains to all nights.
Alright, JazakAllah. The other SMS says, Assalamu alaikum, is it okay to make dhikr holding the tasbih in the left hand at times? And is it okay to make with an electronic count tasbih?
All permissible.
All permissible, JazakAllah. Can you please advise the taking of the asa, cause some imams refuse to take it?
Before I answer that question about the asa, last week I made one erroneous wrong definition of an orphan. I said that an orphan is a person who loses both his father and mother. Islamically, an orphan is a person, a nabali person, who lost only his father. Only his father.
Right.
So it's a retraction and a correction from my part.
Alright, JazakAllah so for that.
As far as the asa is concerned, then know something, that the asa is optional. And when we say optional, the imam can hold it. If he holds it, good. If he does not hold it, good. There is no force on him to hold it or to leave it. The public should know that this is an optional activity and we should not be quarreling and dividing ourselves over an optional activity.
Alright, JazakAllah.
There is a lengthy history of it, sometimes we will explain.
Inshallah, the word JazakAllah, the brother says, means may Allah reward you. Many people think it means thank you, and when I say it, they reply it's a pleasure, or worse, they say don't mention it. Please advise.
As Muslims, we should not be saying this thank you and it is a pleasure, etc. We should be using our terminology, which is full of barakah. Good morning does not equal to assalamu alaikum. And the brother is right when he says that you cannot equate jazakumullah, jazakallah to any other thing like thank you, etc. One is that we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is with praise and one is without praise.
Alright, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It says, can I cut my nails if I'm in nifas, hais and janabat?
Ulama Ikram generally say no, but if it is detrimental to your health and it's becoming very filthy and dirty, then it is permissible to do so.
Alright, and the other question is, I want to know, is the angel of death present at the time of salah?
Angel of death.
Ji.
As far as the angel of death, understand something. That the angel of death has got surrogates. Surrogates meaning that he's got other angels under him. So it is not one angel that is omnipresent. And it is one angel who is controlling many, many other angels, deputed other angels. So that it could be possible that we one of his surrogates around while she performing salah.
Alright, Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. Why does the Quran say we and us, but Allah is one?
This is when you are talking about royal plural. In English grammar, there is a thing called royal plural. And when you utilize royal plural, it has got more force, it has got more power, and it is more sounding of importance and significance. Also, lot of times, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word nahnu, for example, when it comes to revelation of Quran Kareem, then you'll see there is a lot of other factors involved there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it to the Ilaha Mahfuz. Then Jibreel alayhi salam brought it to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. Then the Hufaz protected. So there are a lot of people involved in the protection. So at times, when you look in context, then the word nahnu, we is appropriate.
Oh, my Jazakallah, 10 minutes, rather 11 minutes to 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I must mention something.
Jibreel.
That silly and stupid people will say that Muslims believe in more than one. This cannot be, because the cornerstone of Islam is Tawheed. And only very, very silly people will say, no, how come there is Nahnu, we in the Quran Kareem? Because the very basis of Islam is based and founded and rooted deeply in Tawheed and Tawheed.
Alright, that's a very important question. Makes us think a little. Salams, we came to the masjid. Salah was over. Second Jamaat was made in the boundary of the masjid unintentionally. Is our namaz accepted?
As far as accepted, we do not know. It is valid.
He said it. Okay, that question was done with. We come to the other questions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. It says, I'm a female who has cancer. I have five sisters. My one sister has looked after me for 5 years. Can I give her my inheritance? Jazakallah. Allah give shifa, sister.
If you are perfectly sane and if you are well and you are not doing it under duress or under force, then it is permissible for you to do so.
Alright, Jazakallah. We're going further with the SMSs. Remember to listen to the lines and our clothes. And we're not taking more SMSs. We're taking the last few SMS questions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The SMS says, Shaban, big days, must we fast the 13th, 14th, or 15th?
If you are habitual to do it, then you may do it so. If you do not do so.
Alright, Jazakallah. The other question is, I immigrated from a country to another country and I took with some pictures to remind me of my parents. Now my parents passed away, can I keep these pictures just to remind me of them?
That is why you should not keep it.
That is why you shouldn't keep it, Jazakallah. Alright, and can ladies make tarawih?
Just as it is sunnah and muqtada for men to make tarawih, it is also sunnah and muqtada for females to make tarawih. However, let me state very clearly that they should do it in their homes and not in the masajid.
Alright.
And they can do it in the units of 4 and 8 also.
Alright. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. It says, best is your say that kafara is not necessary in kisab for qadha fast broken, even if Ramadan.
If best is ever saying that, then the best is ever is correct.
Gee, alright, Jazakallah. We go on further. The other SMS question says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. I kept some qadha fast on Fridays. Are these fasts valid, Jazakallah, for the program? Alright, Jazakallah. We can't follow the SMS, don't just bear with me, I'm trying to get the SMS as quick as possible. Assalamu alaikum. When you get your height while fasting, do you have to break the fast immediately? Please explain.
The fast broke automatically, you do not have to break it.
Alright, Jazakallah. We can't further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It says, should the clothes be washed twice or three times when washing now park and park together?
Once you mix it and you wash it, and especially if you machine washed it, then all become pass. If you are going to wash it separately, then it is advisable to wash it until you are satisfied that the impurity has been removed.
Alright, to go on further, Assalamu alaikum. Is it farad for women to cover their faces? If so, why then do we not cover our faces when we are in ihram? And must a female's hair be below her bosom?
Females should not cut their hair. Therefore, it should be as long as humanly possible for them. As far as the ihram and covering the face, we have written, or there is an article on my website, is it necessary, is it obligatory for women to cover their faces? Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who says very clearly that the sahabiyat should cover their faces and leave only one hole available for them to look out. the ihram where room is given for the females to expose their faces, that is a symbol that they are in ihram. So that is the exception to the rule, and that is a proof for those who say that females should cover their faces, not a proof against them. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala adha says, Abu Dawud rewires, that even in ihram, when strangers should pass by, they should cover their faces. So during that time, which was the best of eras and times, they should cover their faces even in ihram. Now can you imagine that the time has deteriorated so much that it is necessary for the females to cover their faces more now than then. And the ihram exposure is a symbol of ihram, that is an exception, not the rule.
Alright, JazakAllah. So we're going further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The listener says, when we return from Umrah, is all our gunas forgiven by Allah?
When a person comes back from Umrah, then inshallah we hope that the person has made sincere tawbah and the gunas, the minor gunas, are forgiven.
Alright, how do you calculate the zakat for a shop that accepts lay-bys?
The lay-by will be classified as stock in trade, and the money that has been given, that will be classified as a liability.
Alright, we're going further. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The SMS says, when a person is in haid, can you read ayat from the Quran Kareem, or can you read surahs?
It is not permissible.
Alright, not permissible. Mustafa, what about birth control? Is it permissible?
As a general rule, you cannot say birth control is permissible. The specific question should be posed to the alim, explaining all the circumstances and details so that a proper ruling can be sourced.
Alright, JazakAllah. What du'as, wazifas, or namazas can one read for a girl who wants to get married and she wants to now settle down, Mufisa?
Yeah, I forwarded you the kitab by now.
Jee, Mr. I, the brother phoned me, I'll pick it up tomorrow, inshallah.
Inshallah, then you can read it in your program.
Inshallah,
JazakAllah. Meanwhile, read two rakat, nafil salat, salatul hajat, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the best formula.
Alright, JazakAllah, Mr. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.